Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Your brain needs support, and new Ollie Brainy Chews are a delightful way to take care of your cognitive health. Made with scientifically backed ingredients like Thai ginger, L-theanine, and caffeine, Brainy Chews support healthy brain function and help you find your focus, stay chill, or get energized. Be kind to your mind and get these nootropic chews at Ollie.com. That's OLLY.com. These statements have not been evaluated by the Food and Drug Administration. This product is not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease.
This is Kevin Altieri, director of Batman the Animated Series.
This is best friend of the show, Monica Cabina, artist and colorist on Batman the Adventures Continue.
And this is the DCAU Review,
hosted by Cal and Liam, streaming at DCAUreview.com and on your favorite podcast app.
Welcome, everybody, to another bonus episode of the DCAU Review. I am one of your hosts. With me, my good friend, good brother, the man that runs our social media accounts, and the man who is going to help me today come up with a list of toys as grown adults that we wish we have. It's Liam. Liam, welcome to what we just realized before going on the air is our fifth annual, or the fifth anniversary of our first Black Friday episode.
That's right. Another thing I don't think we necessarily planned on making a tradition, but something that I end up now looking forward to every year around this time of year. It's, of course, the craziest, most frequented shopping day of the year. And so, as always, we try to bring you something somewhat appropriate, either in the world of action figures, or we talked about video games one year. So we always bring you something appropriate to get you back in the mindset of being a toy collector, no matter your age, or a collector of some kind, no matter your age. And what better day than Black Friday to, as you said, Cal, sort of imagine what has yet to come, what could still be in the pipeline now that McFarlane has picked up the mantle of DC Direct. And we've already seen some re-released and one new figures in this Batman the Animated Series line.
That is right. Yeah. Everybody else has Black Friday specials, usually selling you things. We're giving you a Black Friday special for free as That's we right. discuss a fantasy lineup. As you put it on our standard episode last week, we are writing our list to Santa Todd and asking him check it twice and to deliver us our most wanted ads to the much loved DC Direct / DC Collectibles line of Batman the Animated Series / the new Batman Adventures action figures. Another irony not lost on me, Liam, as we discuss this, is that one of our prior Black Friday episodes was mourning the loss of DC Direct and DC Collectibles as they were going out of business. So here we are years later, after they were shut down, as you mentioned, Todd McFarlane, McFarlane Toys, I guess, licensed the DC Direct name from DC Comics and is now producing things based on the prior sculpts. And this year was our first year that we had additional figures released in that same style. There were several re-releases. I believe actually last year technically was the first drop. He was responsible for putting out the tail end of the, or distributing the tail end of the Batman the Adventures Continue figures. And then there was a box set exclusive to Walmart, I believe, here in the United States that had a re-release of a couple of figures, including Harvey Bullock and Batman, Joker, and Was it Harley Quinn, I think, was also in that set? I think it was a four pack. So, yeah, so Todd has put out previous figures. It was a lot of re-releases, but we got excited, I believe, was it San Diego Comic-Con 2023 when we had the release or the news drop that Todd was going to be creating his first new original figure in this line, which, of course, was the extremely surprising, but very toyetic is the word in the industry used, Condiment King, who after nearly 30 years since his debut, finally getting some respect in plastic three-dimensional form, came out this year. So that's kind of cool. And the basis of this, as you mentioned, we sat around and said, listen, if Todd's going to be making action figures, if he's going to continue to be doing this, and from all that we've heard, there's rumors that this line will continue. It's been received pretty successfully thus far, and Todd has been pushing out his own continuation of the Batman 66 line that seems to be exclusive to Target. This line here in the States, I believe, was also exclusive to Target. So Target's asking for more toys from Todd. Todd is willing to provide them. Let's give Todd a checklist, our most wanted Santa Todd list here. So we're going to go down and let's talk about our format, Liam. Let's let the listeners know what we're going to be fantasy booking here.
Absolutely, Cal. So basically, our idea was, if you're not familiar, this recent Batman the Animated Series set that Cal mentioned had four figures in it, and then each figure comes with a piece of that aforementioned Condiment King figure. That's your build a figure for the set. So we have five figures in total, four regular releases. That when you, if you collect them all, you can also build your own fifth figure. So we have the idea, since we're getting, we decided to split it up into the original Batman the Animated Series, do one set of those, and then one set of the new Batman Adventures, since we imagine that there's likely going to be some repaints, re-releases, and perhaps some new figures made with that line, as well as the original BTAS line. So without any further ado, Cal, I think we should kick it off with the line that started it all, the BTAS line. And I think the first one, we were talking about how realistic do we want to make this,
right? Because we could sit here all day, right? And we're going to be right. Like, yes, I want a Stromwell figure. I want a Tony Zuko figure.
Oh man, again, right up our alley as the biggest nerd you've ever seen. But you've also got to, yeah, as we've said, you know, you've got to get in the mind of a toy manufacturer. This is on major retail shelving in stores, so you got to have some what they call anchors in your set that that anybody, whether they are familiar with Batman the Animated Series or not, will maybe take notice of and pick one up. So what better way to start it off than with the man himself, a Batman, but not just a straight repaint or re-release of the many existing Batman figures from that line. I want shirtless Neil Adams sword fight homage Batman from the Demon's Quest Part 2, complete with sword. Just give me that. It's unique. It's toyetic. Just Batman, mask on, bare chested. He's got a sword, and there you go. What better way to anchor the set? What kid is going to turn down a dope Batman with a sword?
And what adult is going to turn down a shirtless Batman with no nipples?
Exactly. And again, one of the more iconic final acts,
of course,
of any episode of the whole series. Of course, friend of the show Kevin Altieri directed that episode, and it's a pretty legendary one in all BTAS fans. So like, I think it scratches the itch of your regular rank and file consumer that might just stumble across it on the shelf. And it fits again for people like us who have been collecting this line for a while. If you say, hey, we're putting out another BTAS Batman, you're like, oh my God, what could they possibly do to make me want to buy that?
Right.
Well, how about if he doesn't have a shirt on?
There we go. Insta buy is what I would say. Plus, It's not in our fantasy listing here, but that, of course, sets up, let's say there's a fantasy third series in another Batman the Animated Series that sets you up down the road. Well, let's make a shirtless Ra's. Exactly. And at that point, you have a pair, you have a reason to buy and put those two together. Todd loves doing box sets, so you could do a fantasy box set with a, mm-hmm. you know, with a box that looks like the desert area that they were fighting on around the Lazarus Pit.
I'm smelling Comic-Con exclusive all over.
We see lots of merchandising options here. Todd, if you're looking for idea men, you have two of them right here that are willing to share these ideas for a price. We're giving them away for free here, but we've got more in the archives that we're willing to share. So
that's right.
Please email us at dcaureview@gmail.com if you're interested in hiring us. But for moving on from there, Liam, we love that. So that sets us up. We have one character that the execs at Target are very interested in. There's a Batman. Todd loves making Batman figures, by the way. One of his major complaints of his regular McFarlane line is there's too many Batmen. Mm-hmm. But Todd loves making Batman. And who doesn't love Batman? But we've talked about recently on the Standard podcast, a villainess that was not given much respect to date, has no plastic incarnation of her character. And really, as we talked about on the episode just a few weeks ago here on the podcast, bookends the Batman the Animated Series. And it feels like a crime against humanity that this original character doesn't have an action figure over all of the series of action figures dating back to Kenner. There's no plastic incarnation of this figure. So why not take this opportunity to make the first ever Red Claw figure? Yes. Seems like if we're looking at realistic ideas here, that's a big omission from that original run of figures that DC directed that would be a sort of a niche for some people, but I feel like the character design itself, the bright red jumpsuit, the white mm-hmm. streak in the hair, the tattoo on the arm, all of that stuff looks cool when it's sitting on a store shelf, and would be an extremely important ad for a lot of BTAS completionists, seeing as how, again, first ever figure, second, it really fills in some of those holes for the characters that were not made in that original run.
Absolutely. And I'm already thinking like accessories. I think you get like the canister of poison or whatever from mm-hmm. the Cat in the Claw. Mm-hmm. You get maybe her like her little dart gun or whatever from that episode.
Sure.
And then I think you do the cowl. You do a bat cowl that fits in her hand, playing off the line in the end of the line in the Unicorn where she tears off Bruce's mask while she's in the back of the bat plane and he ejects her. I think that's great. That's great value. And yeah, I honestly think we have one other villain on the list that I think is close, but I really think Red Claw is like the most glaring omission from that original DC Direct line. We got a lot of great ones, mm-hmm. At least from the BTAS set. We'll get to the TMDA in a minute as well. I think there's some there, but I just think Red Claw, because like we said, she's in the very first episode that ever airs on Fox Kids. She's in the very last episode that ever airs on Fox Kids, the last new episode anyway. Mm-hmm. She bookends the series quite literally, as you said, and has had no plastic representation. And as we talked about on the pod recently, until recently, didn't even appear in many comic books. So it's time to give Red Claw her due. And what better way to do that than in a McFarlane DC Direct figure?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, that would, again, I think you have this figure sitting on the shelf. It's bright red. It's got black hair mm-hmm. with a white streak. Even if you don't know who the character is, it invokes that like Baroness from the G.I. Joe cartoon type stylization. It's got this tattoo on her arm. Granted, we talked about it. She's only recently made her DC comics debut, so maybe not enough widely known in the zeitgeist of Batman to warrant a figure, but I think the other stuff makes up more than enough for that. Just never having had an action figure made before, it's a great design. It doesn't feel like, it feels like you could take reworked parts. We talked about that too, like a little bit of nerdiness and the knowledge that we have that goes into making action figures is that, of course, the companies are looking to save as much money as possible. So rather than creating a whole new figure from scratch, they will take pieces from other characters and sort of rework them or add them to create new molds. So in this case, you take one of the Bruce Timm female Bucks that you already have, like a Catwoman or something like that, and you just kind of rework it so that it looks like Red Claw's body. You maybe take the belt away, or you add some more detail to things, and then voila, you have a Red Claw body, and the only thing you really have to mass produce sculpt is the head. So yeah, I think for all of those reasons, a glaring omission in all of our collections deserves a place in this Fantasy Todd wish list.
Absolutely. And one last suggestion is that you give her an interchangeable ham to recreate the pimp slap she gives Robin.
the karate chop that's actually a backhand.
That's right.
I love that. That's a great suggestion. We are we're rolling here through our set, so we've got two out of our four figures thus far, and let's talk about our next one, Liam. Another glaring omission based on the amount of screen time that this character gets. We got an interchangeable head featuring him on one of the Batman. There's a Batman set that came with a bunch of interchangeable heads, the Expressions mm-hmm. pack. But a glaring omission, to say the least, somehow never made in all of the different series we've ever had, is a boxy brown suit with yellow mustard shirt Bruce Wayne figure.
Yeah, everybody, if you see some of the great action figure photographers on Instagram and stuff, everybody uses the Gordon body and then pops that Bruce Wayne head on from the Expressions pack. Mm-hmm. And it looks pretty good. But no, we need just full on Bruce didn't wear a trench coat. He was in a brown suit for, you know, whatever, 85 episodes. He's in that brown suit in like 82 of them. So you need brown suit, yellow shirt, Bruce Wayne. Again, you already have plenty of suit Bucks. I don't think that would be too much of an ask as far as new tooling required. You already have a Bruce Wayne head that you can throw on there. Yeah, I think this is a slam dunk. Only thing I'm trying to think of, like, accessories. I feel like he uses a grappling hook as Bruce in an episode, maybe Prophecy of Doom or something.
Mm-hmm.
So maybe you give him something like that, or interchangeable hands or something. You give him the book from that has like the he can't read book because he's in a dream and a chance to dream. There's a newspaper, the messed up newspaper. You give him that as like an accessory.
That's, I like that. That's yeah. My idea. I love that. I think that's a great accessory use. I was going to say the only other thing that you could give him like the maybe the audio cassette recorder that he takes on the leather wings.
Oh yeah.
To kind of verify the bat noises. I'm trying to think, is there anything else that you can think of? Nothing sticks out as being like a good accessory otherwise, but yeah, that
no, maybe you do an alternate head, like a surprise face or a screaming face or something. Oh, I know, you give him young Bruce Wayne from Robin's Reckoning flashback.
Oh, come on, take my Swoop money. Let's hair. Go. Let's go.
Now we're talking.
Oh man, yeah, I love that. That's a great suggestion there. The accessories sometimes are half the fun. Like that was
absolutely
one of the big selling points of those original DC Direct figures was the episode specific accessories that came with it. And as the line wound down, that's something that they unfortunately seemed to get cost cut. So we love to see that Todd is still including accessories with these figures, even at a higher price point. But let's continue here, Liam, with our fourth figure of the set. Another figure that we think is vastly underrepresented in plastic form. He has a figure. He got a figure release in the Justice League Unlimited line, but it's safe to say I think his appearances in Batman the Animated Series are far more memorable based on what he did in the episodes that he was involved in. But yet another villain that has never had his BTOS incarnation in plastic form.
That's right. And we were talking about none other than the Clock King himself. I love this one. First of all, we haven't picked one yet for this. I think this is your Chase paint variant, because you do him in the brown suit from the first episode, and then you give him the black or the gray suit from Time Out of Joint.
Love
Done
it.
Deal. Easy. Accessories. Accessories. You get the cane. You get the little time device thing from Time Out of Joint. A bad episode, but certainly one with memorable accoutrements. And just, I think a really, really, again, don't particularly care. You can listen to our full review of Time Out of Joint back in the archives. But that first clocking episode, great, great episode. Puts a spotlight on Mayor Hill. Another one that I think if we do a volume two of this someday, Mayor Hill would be a neat one to get. But that first episode where he's sort of feuding with Mayor Hill and just the overall idea, he's like a 55-year-old man, but he's so smart and so prepared that he can even outsmart Batman is a great foil for that character in a way that's not necessarily a physical threat to Batman. So a very memorable character, and I love that idea of a Clock King, and I've really talked myself into him being our paint variant for this set.
We love that. It would make a lot more sense than the variant that Todd did with the Scarecrow figure, which
the brown and yellow.
Yeah, not really. Was that based off of like that Batman Adventures number 18 cover or something like that?
Maybe.
I think it's 18, right? Where he's holding.
If I pulled
that, if I pulled that number, I'd be pretty proud of myself. We'll let the Twitter followers let us. I'm sorry, the X followers let us know if we got that one right or not. But it might be 16. Anyway, let's do some variants that make sense that people will actually want. Todd, again, talk to us in our email, slide into our DMs if you're interested in some real good marketing advice. Liam, we kind of buried the lead here with our Build-A-Figure, and this might maybe won't be as exciting to some people, but I think, again, we're talking about if this was going to be somewhat of a realistic idea and we're reusing or repainting or, you know, doing things to sort of budget this line for the time being, as we know that they aren't just going to do four brand new sculpts and figures. We settled on our Build-A-Figure, which, again, I think we had some ideas of what the Build-A-Figure could be. There's other glaring omissions from the series that could have probably landed here in our Build-A-Figure. We talked about the Wolf Man. We talked about Tigress from Tiger. Another horrible, terrible episode.
As you pointed out, though, Todd loves his monster characters.
He does. He loves creating monster characters. He loves making incarnations of monster characters. So maybe those would be more enticing to him. But as far as those would obviously be reused, or those would be brand new sculpts. We also talked about Lock Up, which would be another brand new sculpt, a bigger fella. The Build-A-Figures tend to be, although Condiment King was not a bigger fella. He does tend to use that spot to create a larger monster like figure. But in this case, we decided to go more realistic, and we decided to land on just a repainted with maybe an added accessory Man-Bat, aka She-Bat from the second Man-Bat episode, where Dr. Kirk Langstrom's wife, Francine, is infected with the Man-Bat serum and is transforming, and it's a whole big mystery as to who is transformed into the Man-Bat. So again, it would be a pretty simple repaint based on what we saw in that episode. She's wearing pink pants and has like a shirt that sort of drapes over her shoulders for the majority of it. But for modesty purposes, of course. but it would be interesting, because I think I'm pretty sure the resale value of the Man-Bat figure is pretty insane these days. Yeah. So you might make some people upset that you're not re-releasing that figure, but that figure's arms already come off because they had interchangeable arms anyway. It's already set up to be sort of a Build-A-Figure style. You can put the select one of those arm choices and paint the pants pink and call it a day.
Absolutely. Yeah, I think that's a slam dunk. Like you said, it's a realistic one, and it is a chance to get that figure back out into the world but not just do a straight re-release. So right. I like that idea too. So yeah, and I think that episode is super, super memorable and a really fun one. So I like that idea for they don't really come, the build figures don't come with accessories, so we don't get to, I was like, what is she gonna come with? The oranges, like she's eating or whatever. Like I was like, she doesn't really have accessories.
Maybe a sad man bat face. Ooh, like
yeah, that would be good.
You could, like, if you wanted to, I don't know how that the heads don't really pop off on those figures, so maybe you couldn't exchange it, but you could, yeah, in yeah. theory, you could like add value to your original one by having a different expression or something.
For sure.
Like that. But
yes, yeah. I think that's our final answer on, or at least on this first B test set here. We've got shirtless Batman with sword. We've got Red Claw. Easy slam dunk. I think that's the superstar of that set. Mm-hmm. And then we got Clock King again, another villain that should have had a figure somewhere along the lines. And like you said, just a character that he appeared so often in the show. He is kind of a glaring omission to not get a out of costume Bruce Wayne somewhere along the lines. And then our build a figure She-Bat. So I think that's a really solid and at least somewhat realistic idea for a set.
Absolutely. In our opinions, anyway. And of course, we open the lines of communication before we move to our second list here, Liam, of fantasy Todd wish lists. We open the lines of communication. Follow us at DCAU Review on the website formerly known as Twitter, now X, and of course on Instagram at DCAU Review. Let us know your thoughts. Send us your four wish lists, your fantasy wish lists for Todd. And hey, if the big guy reaches out to us, we'll put in a good word for you if it comes to that. But in the meantime, Liam, let's move on to our second list for here on our Black Friday special. And as we continue, as you mentioned, we'll do a we'll split things up here. So obviously, we know that the original releases from DC Direct were not completely the Batman the Animated Series. You would have two from Batman the Animated Series and two from the new Batman Adventures, or three and one, mm-hmm. or it wasn't exactly balanced. We did, by the end of the line, get almost both versions of every single character, but there were some that, when I look at my collection, it's very, very irritating that there are some figures that they just only made in the BTOS version and not in the TNBA version. So there's a couple I feel like that are probably going to end on this list here, but our anchor, I think, is the one that I'm most excited about and like chomping at the bit, almost drooling at the idea of seeing this in that classic BTOS inspired packaging sitting on a Target shelf.
Well, yeah, and I don't want to steal your thunder because this was Cal's brainchild and his idea, so I'm going to let him tell it. But it's certainly from an episode that's very near to our heart. Technically, it's not a new Batman Adventures episode; it's a Superman episode, but it is very Batman themed. So I think we could fit it in.
That's right. So if you recall, there is a one of the crossover episodes from the new Batman Adventures was the episode Nighttime, which was the Superman the Animated Series episode, as Liam mm-hmm. pointed out. But it features one of the most fun sequences in all of the DCAU. And that's, of course, where Bruce Wayne goes missing and is under some strange circumstances. Tim Drake, Robin, is left kind of holding the bag, trying to figure things out, defending the city and on his own. And thankfully, right at the beginning of the episode, who should show up but the Man of Steel himself. And Superman, being the kind-hearted person that he is, not only does he agree to help Robin figure out what happened to Bruce, but he realizes, Robin realizes, the impact it would have on the city if they realized that Batman is not there. So volunteering to put on the cape and cowl for the episode is none other than Clark Kent himself, Superman. And it the rest of that episode is just a fun bit of hijinks. We haven't had the opportunity to discuss it on our own podcast, but we've guest starred on the Superman the Animated Series podcast, Liam, discussing this episode Nighttime. And it's a joy anytime that we get to revisit it. We're looking forward to talking about it eventually on our podcast. But yes, I think because of all of those things, you put a unmasked Superman head on the TNBA Batman body. Heck, mm-hmm. you can have interchangeable heads. You have a completely reused model minus the head, and the Superman head already exists as well. So it's all reused parts. Todd, hire me.
This episode is brought to you by Shopify. Whether you're selling a little or a lot, Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. From the launch your online shop stage, all the way to the we just hit a million orders stage. No matter what stage you're in, Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/special offer, all lowercase. That's shopify.com/special offer.
Now, when you said this, I was like, this is so brilliant that I'm like, I'm shocked they didn't that DC Direct didn't think of it before the line ended as a way to reuse that Superman head, because yes, there was a DC Direct Superman and Lois Lane 2-pack from Superman the Animated Series, but we didn't get any other Superman figures, so yeah, this would be a great opportunity to rework that head in, as you said, all reused parts. It's an iconic episode, as you mentioned, one that's very near and dear to both of us. This is a no-brainer. You give him a telephone with a needle in the ear, and I don't know, the paper that he looks on that has the nanites on it or something.
Let's go,
that's all you need. That's your anchor for this set is Superman dressed as Batman, interchangeable head. That's what else do you need?
I mean, and come on, what kid, even if this is a line that is marketed towards adults, it is, if a kid sees that and it's Superman, literally the text on the packaging says Superman as Batman, like, who's not going to look at that and go, that's freaking cool, you know?
Absolutely, absolutely. It's an eye-catching figure, and it's just one of those classic things that's existed in various forms and various eras going back to like the 50s.
Mm-hmm.
It's always fun when Batman and Superman dress up as each other. It just is. So getting to immortalize the DCAU version of that story, just a complete slam dunk. Like you said, I think it has appeal for your regular rank and file shopper and an action figure fan, and would be a huge piece for a big DCAU nerd like yourself or I. So love that idea. And that's the anchor for this set.
Yeah, absolutely. Again, our DMs are open, Todd. Let's move on to our second figure, Liam. Another episode that maybe doesn't, I don't know, you have to be sort of like a hardcore TNBA fan, I think, to really remember the episode, because I feel like it was really late in the run that they ended up doing this episode, and I don't remember it being that often in the rotation as far as mm-hmm. episodes were concerned. The Roxy Rocket episode certainly seemed to be, but I do not remember the episode featuring Calendar Girl, which I believe was called Seasons. Is that right?
Mean Seasons.
That's right. Mean Seasons. Calendar Girl, who again, it's a streamlined Bruce Timm pinup girl drawing, essentially. Mm-hmm. So you reuse the same bodies that you already have, and it's a girl that's completely one color.
I was gonna say, not a lot of paint dap on that. Like,
yep, she's got a pretty plain face with black hair and a white mask, and voila. And to your credit, your idea before we went on the air and started recording, it's an easy chase. You have a chase version of it. You got two different versions of it. You got the green one. You could do a red one or the orange one. I think there's multiple outfits that she wears that are simply different colors. So again, you have a chase automatically in the line. It's not expensive based on paint application and the style of body that we're using. So again, I think as far as what you can do is accessories, I think there's a scene that takes place in it's Mean Season. So each season there's a summer, winter, fall, season that she's encountered each one, thus the name Calendar Girl. So we have, I think there's a Halloween bit that they did with some pumpkins from my recollection. I don't remember what the other, Is there a Valentine's Day thing? I can't remember.
There's a Uncle Sam hat, because I think one of them takes place on 4th of July.
That's right.
So you could do that one. I think you could potentially do another head, because of course at the end of the episode her mask comes off.
Mm-hmm.
So that there's an option there. And then yes, I think she interrupts like a beauty pageant at one point and like rips off the model's sash or something. So yeah, maybe not as many obvious accessories, but I just, like you said, the figure, minimal tooling, minimal paint, a good idea to get a chase in there that still is accurate to the show. And then, maybe an alternate head. And I don't know, I'm sure she holds a gun or something at one point in that episode.
Yeah, I'm sure. That seems like an easy choice either way. But yeah, someone else that, again, you see that on a shelf. She's kind of got that blank, weird face, emotionless mask that she wears. So yeah, it's interesting. It kind of stands out on a shelf. Looks very interesting.
And actually, I should mention a really easy, another reusable accessory. She uses a scythe in the end of that episode.
Oh,
So we already have that from the Scarecrow. So easy to just put that in there as well. So there you go.
God, look at how much money we've saved you already. You could have hired us with all of the savings that we're providing you with this free advice. Come on.
Absolutely.
All right, William, let's move on to our next one, which is going to be another glaring omission. Maybe the biggest upgrade, the biggest glow up, I think, in the NBA, that of course being that feathered felon, the rehabilitated Oswald Cobblepot, aka the Penguin, who clearly had left, had gotten, I think, some sort of weight loss surgery or something, and some plastic surgery to his hands also in between whatever happened in BTOS and TMBA. And he's all better now. He looks a lot more svelte. He's running the Iceberg Lounge. Mm-hmm. And how we didn't get this much improved design as an action figure is beyond me. But seems like just maybe the biggest omission from this line from that original run.
Absolutely. Yeah. This is one when we started kind of kicking this idea around originally. And we're like, well, how many figures are there that are like gimmies that should have been in the original line that you can't believe aren't there? And Red Claw was certainly one, as we mentioned. And I think the NBA Penguin is the other, like the other obvious omission there, where you just go, how did we not get this? Like he's in a lot of episodes because they sort of remake him into that sort of behind the scenes kingpin type character. A lot of the episodes seem to take place at the Iceberg Lounge, so he's around a lot in that last season, and again even appears in Superman and whatever in that nighttime episode we talked about. So this is like such an easy slam dunk. You do a head without the hat on, or you make the hat removable. You give him an umbrella or two, give him the machine gun or something that he shoots in the Roxy Rocket episode. Easy slam dunk. Can't believe we're even putting this on the list, because it was one of those ones where I asked, like, they made this, right? Like, I think that was even what I said. I was like, am I Googling something wrong that they didn't do a TMBA Penguin? You just would have assumed that they did. He's one of Batman's most iconic villains, and it's such a departure from the DeVito inspired original series that it feels like you have to do a new one for that, but they never did. So that is, I feel like, the most obvious and glaring need on at least on the TNBA Rogues Gallery side.
Yeah, I don't know how that one was missed. Maybe it was planned for a line, one of the final ends of that series that just never got to production or what have you. But yeah, it seems like the amount of time that he spent on screen outside of one of those other, you know, gangsters from BTOS, man, like especially the amount of time in the TNBA run. Yeah. It just feels like a miscarriage of justice that the Penguin didn't get a glow up re-release. So speaking of the Penguin, Liam, not only did he appear in the new Batman Adventures multiple times, but for our last figure in the set, he appeared in a extremely memorable TNBA direct-to-video that I think is well worth, even though it's technically not TNBA, it's TNBA adjacent, and I think Todd wouldn't care, because I think another insta-buy with our last figure of the set.
Yeah, absolutely. This is I think a slam dunk, and that is none other than from the other titular character in Batman: Mystery of the Batwoman. It's Batwoman from that movie. It's the all silver suit, kind of somewhere in between the Batgirl design and the Beyond suit. It's completely its own thing. And to me, it's like that movie is great. The most obvious accessories, which are obviously three different women, spoiler alert, are sharing that identity in that film. So you just do one head for each of our three Batwoman identities, and then the cowled head, and that's plenty right there. And again,
let me just say this. Todd famously loves doing one figure and then with one head, and then he'll come out later with a unmasked figure. So he could even, in order to maximize profits, he could do chases with the different heads. He could do just the masked version here and release unmasked versions later on. We're giving him so many ideas here for free.
You go back to Comic-Con exclusive, you do one with that like rocket sled thing she's on.
Come on now. Take all of my money. Let's go.
Absolutely. I love that. That's obviously one we haven't covered yet, as we haven't gotten into the new Batman adventures yet. But yeah, very memorable and super toyetic figure there. And again, wouldn't really be that much in the way of new tooling. Obviously, maybe the emblem on her chest and the different belt. But and then the heads or whatever, but that's doable.
Yeah, I would say so.
Absolutely. And then our Build-A-Figure finally rounding out this TNBA set. Maybe the other glaring omission you mentioned kind of at the start, Cal. This is one that you need the yin and the yang you need this guy to match the BTAS version of this. And again, another figure that I would argue maybe the TNBA design is better or at least more memorable to me as a kid. And that is none other than Clayface.
Come on. Yeah. Another one that, I agree. I think I really, there's just something about that TNBA design. It just sort of matches up a little bit more with the voice in my head for some reason. Mm-hmm. It's, of course, your favorite episode maybe of all time, especially from the TNBA run, features him. I don't know that you would have the budget to include a Annie also in this, but hey, again, Todd loves re-releases and reusing things once he's created them. So again, that could be a Comic-Con exclusive or something at some point.
Absolutely.
But that character, obviously, beyond TNBA, he also appears in Justice League, so you can put him with your Justice League figures. It has multiple uses there, but yeah, a big fella that would be borderline monstrous, I would say, that Todd might get a kick out of.
Got some girth to him.
Yeah, for sure. Absolutely. Again, I think enough people appreciate his appearances in the TNBA run where that would be a driver to, hey, you got to collect them all. You got to get everybody in order to put them together. So maybe you'd have some people that would pass on a She-Bat figure, but come on, Clayface, you got to have him. You got to have the TNBA Clayface, especially if he's a hulking mass of a mudman to put on your shelf there. So yeah, I would agree. Another glaring omission from the original run that was probably not made due to the cost at the time, but could be an interesting way to fit him into this run here if you wanted to.
Absolutely. And this is going to be my last thing that gets this is total fantasy. Like, I just don't see a way that this could be made, but I want him to have the ability to have the two extra arms come out of his chest. This is that point in Growing Pains where he's shoving Robin over the ledge and Robin's kind of gripping, and then two more hands shoot out of his chest.
Oh, that's right.
Four hands like trying to shove Tim, and then Annie runs up the steps and tackles him or whatever. I was like, if there's no way that could be applied in any sort of realistic fashion, but that, or I would like interchangeable. I would like a Montoya elf head and a Bullock head to intimate when he's transforming in Holiday Nights. That would be my real fantasy. Not ever going to happen. Additions to that Clayface, but yes, just a standard Clayface build a figure. I think is an easy win for this fantasy book set.
I love it. And again, we left a lot of meat on the table. There's a lot of supporting characters, variations of characters that we could have probably pulled out here. Some ideas that were not didn't make the final cut here. Again, if this episode is well received, if this is something that you enjoyed, let your voice be heard and send us some feedback and let us know your thoughts on this episode, whether it's in the DMs, on the public posts, or tweet at us or X us, whatever that is called these days. But let us know if you like this, and maybe if this continues and Todd continues making figures, we'll go ahead and continue this tradition down the line for another bonus episode. But Liam, it has been a fun episode. Hard to believe we've already made it to the end of our episode, but we do want to wish all of our listeners a very happy and healthy holiday season here. We know that this time of year is one that is often marketed as joyous and a time for celebration and love and laughter. And we certainly know that that is the case, but we also recognize for a lot of people, it is a difficult time. It's a stark reminder of lost loved ones or maybe feeling less than other people. And just from the bottom of our hearts, we want to let people know, if you're listening to this podcast, we thank you. We recognize that you're important, that you matter. And, any time that we get an opportunity, whether we've interacted with you or not, we want to say thank you. And this is the opportunity every year we have to say thank you to our listeners. We really wish you the best holiday season you've ever had, and hope that it's one that it's joyous. Hey, and if you want to talk about Batman the Animated Series or DC Animation, you know where to find us. Where our DMs are always open to chat about stuff, and it's one of the things that we constantly hammer home is one of the best things about doing the podcast.
Absolutely, absolutely. Always like to hear feedback, especially on a show like this, because I'm sure if you're big nerds like us of the DCAU and of toys and collectibles, there's probably some big glaring one that we're just not thinking of that you're yelling at your phone or your car or stereo or wherever you're listening to this. So definitely hit us up on Instagram or Twitter, the artist formerly known as Twitter, and let us know what your picks would be for this, especially an episode like this. We love getting feedback on, but yeah, we just like nerding out with you guys. So hopefully we get to do that a bit more.
Absolutely. You're never alone. Even when you feel alone, you're never alone. And we're here cheering you on. So if you want to talk about DC Animation or anything of the sort, feel free to reach out to us and chat. And we sincerely hope that this holiday season is the best you've had yet. Join us next week as we return to our standard fare as we continue reviewing another episode of the DC Animated Universe. But until then, I'm Cal.
And I'm Liam.
And we will talk to you on that next episode of the DCAU Review.
Bye-bye.